Get everything you need to bring home the holidays on Black Friday at Menards. Doors open 6 a.m. A Nerf Blaster Dog Toy Blast Tennis Ball 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious Dubai Chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing Squish Lamps and Performax Drill Bit Sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Doors open 6 a.m. on Black Friday. Good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Patrick K. O'Donnell. His book is Dog Company. The boys at Pointe d'Oc, the Rangers who accomplished D-Day's toughest mission and led the way across Europe. D-Day is June 6th. It is now December 7th and 8th. It's snowing lightly on Hill 400, which, surprisingly, is in the hands of the Ranger assault teams. Down in Bergstein, the Rangers are also holding on from German counterattacks that come from all directions. The commander of Dog Company, Slater, Duke Slater, is down in Bergstein. On Hill 400 is Lieutenant Lommel and what's left of Dog and what's left of Fox. They have an observation post. However, around them on three sides are the Germans, to their understanding. Also, raining down on them is every artillery piece in the region that can reach them. They don't know why. Patrick explained why. And it wasn't going to be for several days that America and Britain learned that the Bulge was waiting to counterattack. The German attack that was meant to break the Allies, drive all the way to the port cities, and make the Allies either sue for peace or seek an armistice. So goes the fantasy in the Hitler bunker. We could turn our attention to the Russians, to the east. That was the fantasy back in Berlin. But in order to do that, they have to remain secret. And therefore, the Germans have assembled the 272nd Volksgrenadier, armed with MP-44s, really good weapons. The overall commander of this area is Field Marshal Model, who always recovers from mistakes. They also have a German regiment 980, and very good commander named Adolf, is it Adolf Tomei, who's in command of the counterattack. The Germans always counterattack, but five counterattacks over the course of 40 hours. Patrick, there's no way this makes sense in a novel. This doesn't happen. It's impossible to imagine holding out.
It is impossible. And the men were dug in on very shallow foxholes. They had their BARs, they had their Tommy guns, they had their M1 Garands, as well as captured German weapons again from each of the subsequent counterattacks. And the artillery is so intense. There, it's estimated 15 battalions of artillery conducted a time on target to blow the top of Hill 400 and the sides of Hill 400 with this massive artillery from the German guns. And it was raining down. Lommel told me it was like it was belt-fed. That's how intense it was. Men are in these small, little, shallow foxholes dealing with tree bursts where the shell would hit the top of a tree and you'd have not only the shrapnel, but also the deadly shards of the wood itself from the tree that would come down in like large knife-like splinters and flay men. They had that, and then they had these counterattacks. And it was the Volksgrenadiers. And it was also this other infantry unit, but also it was buttressed by elite air Fallschirmjägers, paratroopers that the Germans had. And they were also using several assault guns, Sturmgewehr Schütz or Stugs, to hit the area in and around Bergstein itself, trying to cut off the hill, decapitate it from the town. And the town itself is being hit by these units as well. And it's just an overwhelming assault. And the men are dug in. And I had one account that I found in the archives by Secor, who was a sergeant. And he literally took, after several of the waves of these German attacks, he took some captured MP40s. And in either hand was charging down the hill with the MP40s in either hands, almost something like out of Where Eagles Dare with Clint Eastwood. you know, it's an amazing scene. And that was confirmed not only in the written record, but also from several eyewitnesses that I had interviewed. But that was how desperate things were. They were using captured weapons, hand grenades, anything that they could with their M1 Garands and BARs to fend off these Germans. And things were getting very, very precarious and hairy. Many of the men retreated to the top of the command bunker. Many men were wounded. And after several of these ferocious assaults and this overwhelming artillery, which was nonstop, you know, Lommel looked at the situation. The Rangers were down in strength. There was one counterattack coming after another, and it was proposed potentially. There was a thought of surrender. And the men universally said, no, we must not surrender under any circumstances. And it was a fight to the death. And they continued to hold out.
Yeah, Len Lommel called them together. He's wounded again. Everybody's shot. He's got a bleeding hand, and this is your reporting, Patrick. This is 4:06 p.m. on the 7th or the 8th. Is this the 8th or the 7th? It's the 7th. It's the 7th. 4:06 p.m. on the 7th, local time. And he calls them together and says, the Germans take good care.
Might have been the 8th, I'm sorry.
The 8th. Yeah, the 8th. The Germans take good care of our casualties. So if we surrender, they will treat the wounded who are dying. They're dying around him. And my note here says there are 40 men total, 40 men total on the hillside at this point. And they reject the idea of surrendering. We got here. We're going to stay here. And Lommel calls back to Slater and says, you've got to send us reinforcements. You have to. But the Germans are not going to wait. They're going to continue to counterattack. Many years later, one of them returns to Hill 40 during a tour, 1989, right, many years later. And he runs into German military academy students. And what do they tell him, Patrick?
You'll have to sort of flesh that out a little bit more.
All right. They tell him that we've been taught that you outnumbered the counterattackers, and that the reason the Hill 400 held was because the German army didn't bring enough offensive power to break through the Ranger forces. And so as late as 1989, and maybe, Patrick, they've got your book now, so they've corrected it. They realize,
really? No doubt. Yeah, the Germans overwhelmingly, the massive numbers of forces overwhelmingly had the numbers on the Rangers. And yeah, this small group of determined men against all odds hold out.
At 5:45, Slater finally puts together a platoon, a reinforcing platoon. What, he grabs mortar teams, he grabs anybody who can carry a rifle. And they charge up 400, and that breaks the German will. Apparently, after that, the Germans don't mount any more counterattacks. Hill 400 is held. The Rangers have held. But no one still puts together what they can see from the top of Hill 400. Is that correct, Patrick, that they don't?
That's correct. So the information is they see, assembly of men, material equipment, and it's reported to the chain of command. But like so many other intelligence failures in so many other wars, nobody connects the dots. The intelligence doesn't go up to the right people. And on December 16th, 1944, the Germans, this is a couple weeks after Hill 400, the Germans launch the great counteroffensive of the war, and they attain complete surprise.
They overwhelm the way the story is told is that the Americans' army, which was always heavily well-armed with lots of people, are putting in fresh troops to the front line because this is a quiet sector of the battle line. And they expect that the regular troops, the ones that have been up front, need R&R, so they're rotated back. And the Germans strike at the weak point where the Americans are freshest and overwhelm, and there's a massive surrender because they're surrounded. The Germans then, with major armor, cut through all the way, and that's the Battle of Bastogne that's going to be the point where the German offensive breaks down. But that's several days from now. In the meantime, the Rangers are assigned a point, which Patrick describes as a tip of the spear, to break the German attack. Importantly, our hero Len Lamel, who held out on top 400, is now rotated back to the U.S. And his good friend Jack Kuhn now comes back in as the NCO of Dog Company, as the first sergeant of Dog Company. Len Lamel never returns to the battlefront because the war will be over, in another 6 months. He recovers in Pennsylvania, I believe, at the Valley Forge Hospital.
Very, very heavily wounded from the attack on Hill 400. And the Rangers are in a defensive position in the so-called Northern Shoulder. It's here that the 82nd Airborne and other units hold off the SS. And then you have a little further to the south, the other focus is at Bastogne. 101st is surrounded along with other, assortment of armored units and others hold out. And Hitler changes his objective to Bastogne, and they continue to hold out until Patton's army is able to break through.
There are many.
And it's a month long slog in the Bulge to reduce that salient that has occurred, that the Germans have created.
The Rangers are not done, of course. They're used again and again, but the war is going to end in May of 1945. And when we come back, we're going to turn to Patrick's conversations with the survivors of Dog Company, the survivors of the 2nd Ranger Battalion. The book is Dog Company, The Boys of Pointe-aux-Auc, The Rangers Who Accomplished D-Day's Toughest Mission and Led the Way Across Europe. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Get everything you need to bring home the holidays on Black Friday at Menards. Doors open 6 a.m. A Nerf Blaster dog toy blasts tennis balls 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious Dubai chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing squish lamps and Performax drill bit sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Doors open 6 a.m. on Black Friday. Good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details.
Four seasons greetings to you all.